Freddie could have paused. She could have wondered if she was really meant to be here. She could have wondered if she should disclose everything. But of course, she couldn't say everything. But some things. The things that aren't put behind Hidden Heart. Who else would she tell besides her family? I'm ready. I think I'll have some good choices. Freddie's smile didn't drop.
The man held a torch against the night, illuminating his own sallow face and the others gathered around him, as well as the broken-down cobblestone at their feet.
Claw said specifically not to let you in.
He doubled down. She could hear the annoyance hidden in his tone growing, though he fought to suppress it. He was trying to strike a balance, rude enough to deter her, but not rude enough to bring wrath upon himself.
The morning chill of the Pacific Northwest didn't usually bother her, but when you lose about an eighth of your blood volume, the world feels a lot colder. Doug slides the heavy binder back into his bag and fixes it on both arms, tucking his thumb under the straps. All right, well, what do you want to see? This was a touristy town, so there's a few little things. The gift shop for the train, world's smallest church, I think. Your choice. I've wandered a bit, but I haven't seen everything.
She's in the boat. Stop pretending you don't see her and come get her already.
Don't yell at him. The poor thing's scared out of his mind, a second voice added.
As he should be. We may technically have all day, but I don't want to spend it working. So he better get his sweet candy ass over here and get this show on the road. The third voice chimed in, sounding both exasperated and amused.
Standing over the sleeping form, I raised the dagger high. I thrust it down and into the ghoul's skull. The blade met almost no resistance and sank deep into the creature's temple. I jumped back as it stirred. The ghoul let out a high-pitched roar that bounced around the walls of the small room, jumping to its feet and tearing the dagger embedded in its skull. Claws raked off goblets of flesh as the monster pulled at the handle. I stared in disbelief.
I drag a hand over my face. Ray, it's too early.
Oh, gods! Your voice! She gasped dramatically. You sound wrecked. Did you? Did he? Piper, if you got ravaged by something infernal and didn't FaceTime me!
Ray! Slade turns amused, stirring the pan like he's been waiting for this exact circus to occur.
Commander Beefcake Don Biceps is standing there, towering, radiant, tragic. The kind of man who could make a marble statue feel undressed. He lowers himself into the seat beside me, and the table, the air, and possibly the laws of physics adjust to accommodate the sheer gravitational pull of his pecs.
Do you have it?
He whispers, voice like warm thunder rolling through my very bad decision-making skills. My pulse decides cardio is back in style. My brain short circuits. I attempt professionalism and instead produce a sound like an overwhelmed teapot.
Yes.
I breathe, somehow managing to form a word.
I have been so good this whole time, Jack. The reader has not spotted me a single time until now, that is. Oh, look, he's stomping off in search for chapter one in a tizzy. Oh, it's so cute. Oh, and he's going in the wrong direction. Good. Well, shall I let you in on a little secret? I stashed the chapter at the end of the book under chapter 1.5.